Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to the North Shore Fishing Report, a special two-hour show this morning, and we've got another hour left. Last hour, we heard from Captain Andy Jones of Wicked Charters. We also heard from Chris Basie with Bass Assassins, and Todd Ullman was there talking catfish on the North Shore. Those catfish are running. Time to get out there and set those lines or just head out with a rod and reel and catch some. Certainly appreciate Todd coming on and keeping us informed last hour. And we got a great lineup ahead of us for this hour. We're going to check in with someone who knows that Lake Catherine area very well. And not only does he know that area, he knows the area, the ICW, the Wrigley's, Lake Bourne, all that area. He's the owner of Island Marina at Lake Catherine. So he sees what everyone's catching and when they come back for a trip. So I like to talk to David a little bit. David Stewart, owner of Island Marina at Lake Catherine. Also, Ray Miller is going to join us to talk a little sock lake fishing. Ray fishes at Chifuncta River. And, well, let's say he controls the population of sock lake in that river. It's a tough, demanding job, but somebody's got to do it, huh? The sock lake reports are starting to come in, and we'll check in with Ray to get his take on the Chifuncta River, maybe see if he's fished some other rivers. Sometimes Ray ventures off the Chifuncta to fish for some other some white perch in some other areas. So a lot to get to here. I want to first off get to this spring fish fest that's going to be over in Hammond. This is a free fishing seminar that's going to be held at Low Road Brewing in Hammond. It's open to everyone. Bring the family. Topics will cover freshwater and saltwater fishing, tips and tactics, baits and lures, rods and reels, boats and motors. Wow. They're going to need a lot of time to cover all that, huh? Let's see. It's from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the afternoon. So 3 hours to talk about all that. Sounds like a fun event if you're looking for something to do. And that's on Wednesday, February 27th at Low Road Brewing in Hammond. Also, I want to remind everyone that plans on crawfishing off the Interstate 10, off that area of Interstate 10, just east of Slidell. I know that's a popular spot and an easy spot. Just pull off the interstate and find a trail that goes back there, and that's it. But just a reminder that that is a WMA, a wildlife management area, and you need a self-clearing permit to run those nets in there. That's the Pearl River Wildlife Management Area, and that stretches from the West Pearl River to the East Pearl River. So all the middle ground in between there, West Middle Pearl, everything that falls in between the East and the West Rivers is a WMA. And if you want to do any crawfish in that area, you need a self-clearing permit. It's easy to fill out. It's free. And you can find, well, there's two stations near that area where you could find these permits, and one is Crawford's Landing at the West Pearl, and another is Davis Landing, and that's also on the West Pearl River. Now, if you don't want to do that, there is an app. Yes, there's an app for that. And this is an easy way to check in and check out on the WMAs, and it's available on iPhone or Android. It's completely free, and you can find this at the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, or just search it on the App Store at the App Store on your phone. That area should be heating up now with the weather getting warmer. Just have to check the river levels, because that area, I find that when that water is up and running through that swamp, those crawfish are not too plentiful. All right, just a few tournaments to announce here. These are bass tournaments on the North Shore. Just taking a look at the schedule right now. Liars and Lunkers are going to kick off their 2019 tournament season at the East Pearl River on February 24th. That's Chad Hartzog's tournament. So that tournament will be on Sunday, 2 weeks from now. And tomorrow, talk to Chris Basie with Bass Assassins, and they're holding their tournament on Bayou Lacombe. Lots of big fish probably going to be taken from that tournament. Also, Pearl River Single Circuit is holding its next tournament at Crawford's Landing on February 23rd. So that's a Saturday tournament, And for more information on all these tournaments and the results, just check in with the North Shore Fishing Report, the North Shore Bass Series, and all the information is right there. All right, up next, well, you know, we talked a little bit about pre-spawn bass earlier with Chris, and that's not the only thing preparing for a spawn. Those sockeye or the white perch are moving, you know, into the shallows, if they're not already, with these warmer temperatures, huh? We're going to check in with Ray Miller up next to see just what the crappie are up to here on the North Shore. Keep it tuned right here for more North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors. Well, welcome back. The North Shore Fishing Report. Keith Lusher talking all about fishing on the North Shore. And up next, we're going to talk a little sockeye fishing. Yes, it's about that time, late February into March. Those sockeye move into the shallows. And, well, it kind of makes things easier for those bank beaters that like to fish the shoreline with corks and jigs or shiners. Lock One, Bayou Liberty, Bayou Lacombe, the Pearl, Chifunka River, all popular sockeye fishing destinations here on the North Shore. But up next, we're going to talk with someone who specifically focuses on the Chifunka River, both above and below the Interstate 12 overpass in Covington. Ray Miller joins us this morning. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Keith. How are you, sir?
I am doing just fine. A little foggy outside. Hopefully that lifts.
Yeah.
Looks like we got calm winds. Yeah. Looks like a good day to go fishing.
Yeah, better than yesterday.
Well, we'll get to that. Ray, that river took a big hit last month with the rains we saw. What's the water look like on the Chifunka?
Yeah, you're right. It did take a big hit, man. It was starting to clean up pretty nice, and then all this rain came, and it not only got so muddied, and the past few trips that we've taken, you had to really be careful on the river because it was so much floating debris. You know, I hit a log yesterday when I was on the river. But yesterday the water was extremely muddy and very, very low.
Well, talk a little bit about your trip yesterday.
Well, yesterday it got to full on about 6:30 in the morning, and it proceeded to drizzle. And then we had a couple of showers after that were much harder. So, but basically I wore a raincoat all day long, and the temperature was in the 60s, which should have been nice, but it was so damp and cold. But we had to hunt a lot. We found some clean water, tried a couple of new areas, actually one, two, three different canals that really never fished in before. But we were way up the river, and we fished for about 3 hours without a bite. And that water was so shallow where we were at. Somebody read the post, depth finder wasn't even reading. I have one on the front on the trolling motor. It wasn't even registering. That's how shallow the water was in these canals. And the fish have been in there. A friend of mine went up in these canals last week and caught 18 one day and 30 the next day. And he was up there when I got into these canals. It was already people in these canals, and nobody had any fish. So we did a lot of moving around yesterday to find some water. But Jig Rig had a good day yesterday. Well, I say good. He had to, this is something he doesn't usually do is beat the bank, but he did, and he found a few fish. So
okay. Right, you talk about muddy water. Where's the best chance to find clean water? Is it those neighborhood canals that wind, you know, all the way from the main river up into the dead ends?
Right. Well, that's exactly where we found clean water yesterday. Mm-hmm. We found some really nice water. And it is at the back end of the canals. The water's calmer. It doesn't have – you get the canals that wind to the back that doesn't have much flowing water through it. We had one canal yesterday. The water was black clear. I mean, it was beautiful, but they just weren't biting in that canal. But, yeah, that's where you want to go, to the back end of the canals. And for spawning sockeye, that's where they're going to be. They're going to try to get out of this moving water. They're going to be somewhere where it's calm. So lay their eggs.
Ray, I know you deep jig most of the year, and you use a long jigging pole, but do you change things up in the spring and using a spinning reel, more of an ultralight setup?
Yeah, I do. I use my spinning reel a lot. I always have it available in the boat, you know, especially I use that to shoot docks. But during the spring, I like to use a slip cork, something that'll slide up and down so I don't have as much line because the dangling from the cork to the hook. So I like to use a slip cork a lot, and that way I can pitch it up under the brush. And then there's some places I always have my spinning reel set up and my jig pole set up with the same cork configuration as I do my spinning reel, because some of those places you can't cast to, but it's easier for me to pitch my jig in there with my long pole. You know, so I use both, but yes, I do change it up quite a bit.
Yeah, and man, that slip cork does make a difference when casting.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you cast,
you don't have as much line
comes down to the jig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ray, color combinations for your jigs. You change that up in the spring?
Yeah. In the springtime, I'm going to use brighter colors and also smaller jigs. You know, there's a couple of jigs I fish with that are 1/48 and 1/64. Little tiny things, you know, there's a lot of fresh new growth, so to speak, you know, bait shrimp, you know, the little grass shrimp and little crawfish, you know, so little tiny critters. So I go to a smaller bait, and I use a lot of bright chartreuse, you know, so, because that water is going to be cleaner once we move through all of this muddy water period.
Mm-hmm.
So the brighter, the lighter, you know, that's the mentality there.
There you go.
If the water's
that's
muddy, I go with the darker.
Good to remember.
Yeah, but if it's muddy water, I go with a darker bait.
Yeah.
That's why black and chartreuse works so well in the river.
Right, bass fishing, in the bass fishing world, we usually see the bigger bass being caught, you know, in the spring because of the spawn. They come up into the shallows. Those big fish move up there to nest. And anglers usually catch the big, heavy fish. Is it the same for sockeye? When do you usually catch a bigger fish for sockeye?
Personally, I catch bigger sockeye in the fall and winter, you know, mm-hmm. that's they're up in those brush piles. Now, during the spring, when the spawn right here, you may catch bigger fish, you know, but and some people do. I caught a 2-pounder the other day when I was doing, and I just put her back in, this female. She was full of eggs, so I let her go.
Mm-hmm.
But not really. You might catch more numbers, but personally, I catch bigger fish in the spring, in the fall and winter. I don't know why. I guess because the places that I'm fishing, they're staging to get ready for the spawn. But you got to understand with the spawn, you know, your chances of maybe catching some fish are pretty quick. For instance, a story, a friend of mine caught 18. He caught him in about 30 minutes, and then that was it. He fished all morning for 3 hours without a bite. He found the fish, caught 18, and then he fished another 2 hours, and they get a bite. The spawn's pretty sporadic, you know, and John Guyot puts it the best. He said it's a one-night stand because the male comes and he fans. The female lays her eggs. He comes and put his stuff down, and the female's gone, and the male may stick around 3 or 4 days. So the spawn is quick. That's why sometimes you can go up on a bank today and just light them up, come back the next day and not get a bite because they're done. And, you know, so it's pretty fast. Don't last long. So if you want to do some spawn fishing, you better take advantage of it pretty quick.
Yeah, and that's what adds excitement to the whole sockeye fishing scene.
Yeah.
Right, talk a little bit about your method of clearing out you know, a little hole in the grass mat. We don't have too much grass mats right now, but springtime's coming and summertime's coming where you get a good mat. I've been with you and I've seen this technique. Describe that pole and what it consists of.
Well, my original pole I made was from a golf ball retriever, a telescopic one. I cut off the real small end and I put a piece of aluminum rod, and I also had another hook. It's a foot long at the end of the pole, and it's all taped together and stuff, so nothing can move. And what I do is I'll stick this pole, the end piece, down in some brush that's been established. It can't be just a pile that just moved there tonight, you know? So there's a grass bed or whatever, and I go and I make a hole in that grass bed about the size of a cell phone. With just pulling that hole, and then I'll drop a jig down in there very slowly, and then you're waiting for that thump. And if you get a thump, you have to pull straight up. You cannot bend or anything. Can't pull it at an angle, but you pull it straight up, and it's kind of like ice fishing with no ice. That's what it boils down to. Ice fishing with no ice.
That's a good description. Good description.
Yeah. So, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun to feel that thump.
Well, Ray, you fished the Chifunka River, and of course, when we're talking about the Chifunka River, we have to, you know, always be aware of the boat traffic, the ski crowd, the ski boats, the jet skis, wakeboards. I know I'm making your blood pressure go up as I'm talking about it.
Yeah, it's pretty aggravating. You know, it just amazes me at the people that are out there, and they all have a right to be there, you know, but Jesus Christ, they should have a little bit of courtesy. You know, I'll tell you a story that happened to myself and Boudreaux 2 years ago. We were fishing a point, and this big boat came around, and he was rolling, and he was throwing a monster wake. And we were standing on the front and the back deck waving our arms. There was no way he could have missed us because of the positioning that we were on. I finally turned. I just told Boudreaux, said, get off the front deck. We had our life jackets on, and we turned on the bilge pump, and we got swamped. The wave come over the front of the deck. It pushed us up into the woods in the Chifunka. It broke the cowling on the back on my motor. And, you know, somebody said, well, you should have chased him down. I said, man, we were just trying not to drown at that point in time, you know. So, but that's the kind of stuff that on the weekends. And last weekend, I went fishing last weekend. It reminded me why I don't like to fish on the weekends. You know, it's just, and there's several people that are out there that just, you know, they're so kind, you know, and they're courteous. But, my gosh, it just takes one of those yo-yos to come out there and just ruin your day. So just have a little courtesy on the water. That's all we ask.
Yeah. How big was that boat to do that to you? And that was in a Chifunka?
Yeah, that was in a Chifunka. It was somebody that should have been running out in the lake. You know, it was just a big boat. Big boat. He was huge. So just being careful. Never slowed down a lick. Never slowed down a lick, yeah. But the river can be kind to you, but man, it can be, you just be careful on that river. That's all. On the weekends, if you go on the river, I like to get out of the river and go fish all the canals. The problem with me is that my better spots are all in the river.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but I just
And Sockeye fishing
more,
and waves don't really mix.
No, well, during the summertime, if I'm going to fish the river, I also bring me a box of worms. So if I'm fishing the river, I'll go early, catch me a few fish. When the boat traffic starts, I get off in the back canals, and I start to catch some chicopin.
Is that those green worms?
Those green worms. That's it. I use my green worms. In fact, I'm gonna make a trip. One of the North Shore Fishing Report guys that I met, we're going to hook up in April and go hit the Tickfall. And I said, well, I'm going to bring some magic bait. And I said, I'll make a bet with you right now. I'll catch four to your one. He said, oh, okay. I said, well, I might even make that five. I'll catch five to your one. And he didn't want to believe that. But I said, well, believe it. So.
green worms. Ray, North Shore Fisher Report, any posts, any reports that caught your attention recently? I know we've got a few Sockeye fishermen on there posting reports.
I'm trying to remember the names of the couple of guys that have been out there, and we've all seen each other out there, and they're doing some things that I haven't done in a while, or they're fishing locations that I don't particularly frequent. You know, so in fact, I'll just say one report kind of sparked my interest. I went hunting, and Neil and I went in there a couple of weeks ago, and we found a place, and we sat there, and we caught about 25.
Mm.
We only kept about 12 that were big enough, but we caught 25 or 30, just one of them back to back.
Good size.
So, the ones that we kept, yeah. But there was a lot of little fish mixed in, but that just told me that last year's spawn was pretty good. I mean, that's how small they were. But it was like every time we dropped our jig down, we were sitting in 22 foot of water, and we couldn't fish but about 8 foot deep, you know, like that other spot I have on the river, because we'd get stuck in the branches. There was a monster tree coming off the tree that you could barely see the tree laying down. I think there was about 3 foot of it exposed. So in the spring, when everything starts to get green, you're not going to be able to see it. So it's marked mentally where I know exactly where it's at, but it's in some deep water.
And Ray, recently on the site that popped up that DEQ updated on February 7th. Now, this has been since 2003 they've been having this. Adults and children 7 years of age or older should consume no more than two meals a month of bass or sockeye. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my wife pointed that out to me, and if you go to all of the launches, they have that basic report is on a big board, you know, so they're posting that stuff. And, you know, just most people like me, probably when you catch a sockeye, we're filleting it, you know, so I don't know how the tests are run, but they're saying one portion is a half a pound of fish. Well, that's quite a bit of fish, but I also read a report a few years ago that said you had to consume, a couple of pounds of fish every day for a few months, you know, a couple of years for it to even affect you. So, but I don't know that it's, I know there's mercury in all of the fish that we eat, but how prevalent is it on the river? I'm not really sure, but it's not going to slow me down. I'm going to eat it because all my fish I eat are filleted. I don't worry about the bones and the blood and everything that's in there. And I'm sure that's where all of the tests are run. They probably grind all this stuff up and take a sampling.
Yeah, yeah. That was somebody made that post. Mark Sagahoe made that post that they grind it all up and then sample that, which is not really right.
Yeah.
That's intestines and everything.
Right. You know, so the portion that we would eat, you know, I don't know. I only know one guy that I'm friends with that eats whole, that he'll fry his fish whole, but then that's not that often. Everything is filleted in my house. I can't serve whole fish at my house. Everybody said, well, look at me and say, what's that?
They spoiled, huh?
Yeah, they spoiled if you filet all the time, you know? So, but yeah.
Ray. Anything I'm leaving out there?
No, you've covered it pretty well. I just, the sockeye, the bite on the inside canals is on. Just remember, you're going to have to beat the bank and work pretty hard for them because they're going to be quick up and quick down, you know.
Absolutely.
So, but don't be discouraged. Just, you know, like yesterday, we ran all day long. I fished from 6:30 in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They only had four fish. So, and look, we did some rolling and we found some pretty water. Jig Rig, I was reading his report. He got up the back end of some canals and he was behind four boats in this canal, and he just kept picking and picking, and he caught some really nice fish. But he's not accustomed. You know it's bad when Jig Rig picks up a cork. I got to tell you that, because he never uses a cork.
Right.
So.
Well, all right, Ray. Don't let those jet skis and the ski boats distract you, all right?
Nah, I'll get out of the way all day long. Talk to y'all later.
Keep me posted, man.
Bye-bye.
All right. Ray Miller right there, better known as Cajun Ray, the North Shore Fishing Report. It's about that time, prime time for sockeye fishing. Those fish are moving up into the shallows and starting to feed. Ray is the man when it comes to that Chifuncta River, so we certainly appreciate him joining us this morning and sharing his knowledge. Kind of hard to get those crappie fishermen to open up about things, but Ray does a great job of teaching people how to fish for sockeye, especially getting them out on the Chifuncta and catching more sockeye. Okay, up next, we're going to check in with David Stewart with Island Marina of Lake Catherine. We're starting to get to be that time where things are warming up. The redfish bite's been strong all winter, so I don't think that'll change. But the speckled trout fishing has been a little tough, but hopefully things will start picking up. And we're going to check in with David to see what he's seeing over that way by Lake Catherine. Be back right after the break. North Shore Fishing Report, a special two-hour show this morning on More Outdoors. And welcome back to the North Shore Fishing Report. We talked with Captain Andy Jones earlier, who mentioned the great sheep's head bite that's going on in Lake Bourne in that Lake Catherine area. And up next, we're going to check in with David Stewart of Island Marina of Lake Catherine to see if he's seeing the same thing. Plus, check in to see if the trout bite has improved any. February is a tough month to find those speckled trout, but luckily the redfish bite has been consistent and saving a lot of anglers' trips, the redfish and the sheep's head. So up next, we're going to join David Stewart. David and Angie operate Island Marina of Lake Catherine and pretty much have their finger on the pulse of saltwater fishing over in that area. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Keith.
Okay, David, let's start out with what you're seeing over there as far as speckled trout. Any improvements since the last time I talked to you?
There's been some slight improvements. I'm getting a few reports of some on the south end of the lake here. It's pretty sporadic. I mean, you got to work for them, but they are starting to come in now.
What about the wall area, David?
I've heard good reports on the wall. And again, further south you go, you're going to catch more. I think that's with all the species, but trout especially.
Okay. Now, I know there's been no shortage of redfish this winter, better than normal reports for redfish. Some undersized, but that's to be expected. For the most part, a great redfish bite. You still seeing a lot of redfish being brought back to the marina?
A lot of redfish, and the size is starting to increase, too. We're not seeing as many of the rat reds. Seeing some better 28, 26-inch redfish coming in now. And they're usually they're on the points, the cuts, the runoffs. Their ICW is doing really well.
And Sheephead, David, we're getting some reports. Dead shrimp on the bottom was the ticket. Loaded the ice chest with them. Still seeing some sheephead being caught?
Loading the ice chest with them. They are. I will say I think it's starting to fall off a little bit where you could catch them on just about every point you went to. It's not quite that way now, but they are still out there. They're on the points. They're on the bridges. Moving water, I'm finding that the more moving water and, you know, the cleaner, which is going to be a little further south right now, that's your spots if you're going for sheephead.
David, what's the water look like right about now in that area, Lake Catherine?
It's not clean, Keith. It's I'd say it's pretty heavy stained. It's not muddy, but it is pretty heavy stained. But they are still catching fish. Fish are still in it. You know, it improves. But as that we get those west winds in here, it turns it back up.
Yeah. All right. The big question live, shrimp. David, starting to get warmer. What's your bait situation over there at Isla Marina?
We've always got coho, live coho, and the market shrimp. The live shrimp are probably a good month out from this area, although I did get reports yesterday of some shrimp popping in the canals here locally. So I may be off on that. I should have some shrimp coming in within the next week from further south there of us. So we do hope to have live shrimp pretty quick.
Yep, always in high demand. David, the bass being caught in that area changing like it's been, it seems like bass is an added bonus for those who want to keep them. Nothing wrong with filleting up a few 12-inch marsh bass with a frying pan, you know. I'm curious as to what percentage of boats come back with bass in the cooler along with, like, the redfish and the speckled trout. What would you say the percentage is?
The bass bite's been really good, Keith. I'd say you're looking at 75% of the boats bringing back bass along with their reds and, you know, sheephead, trout. You know, they're just an added bonus. I mean, you're fishing for reds and you pop that bass out of the water.
Yeah. So you got the redfish, trout, and the bass, sheephead. Man, I got a colorful ice box to put together.
Absolutely. You got definitely get that mixed box.
Yeah. If bass fishing keeps going good in that area, it's not going to be long for there's some bass tournaments using Isla Marina as a weigh-in. I tell you, I'm sure you'd be all right with that, huh?
Well, that'd be great. We've had some junior high school and high school rodeos here. And those go really well.
What's the biggest bass you've seen come back in that area? Because you don't typically think of, you know, marsh fishing associated with catching big bass. It's usually running up the rivers to find those larger bass. What's the biggest you've seen brought back?
Well, you know, you just can't beat those fat little marsh bass. I'd say your average is probably the 2 to 4 pound range. You know, your quantities are going to be in that probably the 2 pound range. But we have, you know, with the tournaments that we did have, guys were bringing in the 3 to 4 and maybe a few bigger than that.
I'm going to talk to Chris Basie. Maybe we could schedule a bass tournament over there. I would love to see where these guys head out of Lake Catherine Marine. All kind of options, huh?
Sure, there's all kind of options.
David, this weekend, somebody's heading out to fish that area. It's been a few days since the last front. It's warming up, kind of stabilizing. Where would you suggest they go to put some fish in the box?
Well, today we've got warm weather, cloudy. Tomorrow's supposed to be warm also. I think it should be a little bit better day. ICW, again, is doing really well. Runoffs on the east side and the west side there, it's doing really good. Look for some clean water and moving water. And, again, you further say if you go toward the chef, you're going to find cleaner water at this moment. The Wrigley's canal on the south side of the Wrigley's, those cuts coming off of there have been producing redfish in the last few days. Doing well, nice redfish.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be top and bottom, too. You can fish on the bottom with the dead shrimp, and popping corks are working well also.
Yeah, we had a report of a fellow went out to ICW, had a hard time finding redfish and trout, but luckily brought along some dead shrimp, found a big old stack of sheep's head and filled the box with that, so saved his day, you know?
Yep.
All right, David, anything else I'm leaving out?
I think you covered it, Keith. You know, the fishing's improving. We're looking for a good year, and just pick your days that you can go out and beat the bushes for them.
All right. Tell Angie hi for me.
You got it. Thank you, Keith. See you later.
Thanks so much for joining us. All right. David Stewart right there, holding down the fort over there at Island Marina. David and Angie do a wonderful job there. Make sure your launch is smooth and hassle-free. Great job they've done with the place over there on Lake Catherine. Okay, we talked earlier about the spawn, and up next is going to be someone who's he's already catching big bass. I tell you, he's already got 2 6-pounders in the boat. He caught those on Bayou Lacombe, where he fishes every day, just about. He fished the last 21 days, he told me. Oh, man, retirement must be nice. Way to go, Mr. Green. Rub it in, huh? So we're going to check in with Mr. Green right after this. It's the North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors. Be right back. And welcome back. Keith Lusher talking North Shore fishing. And, you know, Bayou Lacombe can be a tricky place to fish. It takes a little time to figure it out. But I tell you, every year we see big fish, big bass, that is, taken from the bayou. Spring is right around the corner, and these fish are staging, moving into position. And the most important thing, these fish are hungry. They're stocking up for the spawn right now. And Bayou Lacombe is a fantastic location to catch one of them. Mr. Forrest Green, he's gotten a jump on the action already. He's gotten 2 6-pound fish already. So let's get to Mr. Green now so he can fill us in on what's going on at Bayou Lacombe. Good morning, Mr. Green.
Good morning, Green. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing pretty good. What's it looking like over there? You at Bayou Adventure?
Yeah, I'm at Bayou Adventure this morning. I'm just not on the water yet, but I am going back on the water. Give me up about 22 days on the water by Lacombe. The water is warming up pretty good. The little cold front kind of knocked it back down, but the week of Bayou Lacombe when it was 70 all the way got to 80 degrees, those big fish just came up. I was so excited. That's why I fish all these days. I've been fishing them.
Mr. Green.
Bayou Lacombe is an odd place to fish.
Yeah.
But
where are you heading today?
I'm going to head back down south today because as of yesterday, I fished Sakale yesterday.
Okay, how'd you do yesterday?
I had 21 Sakale yesterday. They're moving in the canals.
Mm. What do you do, Mr. Green? You just wake up and decide, or you flip a coin on what you're going to catch, or what?
Well, when I wake up in the morning, I've been on the bass the 20 days I've been fishing, the 21 days. I've been on the bass that it came up. And I got so excited throwing spinnerbait, crankbait, and crawworms. I know they're not spawning yet, but they're coming up to feed, and the water got warm, and they kind of like undecide what they want to do. But I put my boat in about 12 feet of water, and I cast a spinnerbait and a crankbait on an angle and try to cover all the depth coming back to me. And that had been working fine. But when I go north of the boat launch of Main Street, I fish the cypress trees and the kneeler, the little kneelers that are up when the water is in there. And I throw crawworms in there. I caught one in there, at 6 pounds, and I caught one down south at 6 pounds on the crankbait. So that telling me the fish are coming up on a boat in at the North Street of the boat launch. And I've been having fun with them.
You mentioned south and north. For those who don't know Bayou Lacombe, describe a little bit what it involves as far as the layout of Bayou Lacombe.
Well, if you launch at Main Street, which is closer to the highway right here by Bayou Venture, and you take a left, that's Main Street. If you go north of Main Street, the water gets deeper, and the Bayou Lacombe does make a lot of S-turns. If you go south and go toward the Trace and get down south, you got less cypress trees and less laydown trees. And we have more of a flat, like maybe 20 feet, 30 feet of flats of 4 or 5 feet of water. So that's why you see me drop my boat way out in 12 feet of water with my depth finder, so I could cover all that kind of stuff. And the more south you go, the more flatter the bayou start to get. More north of the Main Street boat launch, the deeper the water start to get, because we're going up north. And there's plenty of deep water north. I'm talking about like 15, 20 feet, 17 feet down south. It's average out about 12 feet. And I would just throw against the bends and throw spinnerbait against the flat. Both sides of the bayou, Bayou Lacombe, is pretty good all the way to the lake. So what I would do if I was going to fish Bayou Lacombe, I'd go under the Trace or start at the Main Street boat launch and put the trolling motor down and hook it up. And, throw spinnerbait for a while south, throw crankbait for a while when you're south. When you're north, you can flip a small spinnerbait through the needles and crankbaits up that way get hung up a lot. So then you start flipping car one. And you'll do fine on Bayou Lacombe if you follow those instructions. You'll do very well.
Well, Mr. Green, I want to hear about those two big fish. Talk about each one of those specifically. When was that? That was during that warm-up that we've seen, huh?
That warm-up, we had them 70 and 75 days that week, and then that Thursday was the day when it came to be 80 degrees. And I went north for a while. And, I mean, when I got north and started throwing car one, which I caught that one big one, but I lost two or three of them up there because they kind of shocked me. I wasn't really looking for those big fish to be all up on the bank like that. I just was looking around, and I had the radio on, and I wasn't paying attention. But when I caught that one and missed some up there, I started paying really attention. Then I went almost to 190 and fished that and missed a few fish. And I said, let me go down south on the other side of the bridge. And I went down south. And then right under the Trace, I caught the other one. I did like, well, I'll be doggone. So it was just an awesome, awesome day. I thought I was in Lake Fulton catching these big old fish here. Yeah, it was just awesome.
Looking for a tournament to join, huh?
I looked at one, to be honest, which I did look at. I was going to fish Chris and them one tomorrow, but I got some other stuff happening in the neighborhood here, and I can't get to go to that one. But they're kind of tough, but I don't know. I'm thinking about that. I mean, I have thrown more crankbait and spinnerbait in the last 21 days. So I say, well, maybe my health is good enough to do that. I'm not sick or anything. When you're fishing tournament, you got to be on your game. To those guys.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mr. Green, now you said these fish are in the shallows, but you say it might not be for what most people think. They think spawn. What, you know, there's another reason they're up there, huh?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's warm right now. And most people, when it gets to be this warm, we all jump the gun and holler, oh, they're coming up, they're getting ready to spawn. But, you know, Mother Nature doesn't fool these fish. The eggs haven't developed yet. It's just no more than someone being pregnant and, you know, maybe 9, 8 months pregnant, you ain't ready to have the baby. Well, these fish have not come up. They're coming up on the shallow to feed, to get ready for the spawn. And I personally think they was coming up to feed and finding areas that they want to spawn in and clear it out. But this little cool front came in there that Friday after that Thursday, kind of sent them back down a little bit, and that's why I started using the crankbait. So they're not really spawning, but they're all coming up looking around, and they're kind of excited. They got me excited doing it. So that's why you see I fished those 21 days.
Mr. Green, you seen any crawfish when you clean those bass?
They had crawfish in them, and up on the north end, the crawfish, I usually gut them open and see what color it is, hoping they just ate one where it doesn't change yet. And I'm looking there, and most of the old crawfish on the north end are kind of dark greenish looking. And that's what I've been throwing more of a watermelon candy. I was throwing more of that claw worm up there because I try to stay whatever they feeding on. If I can find it, then I use it. But now some of the fish down south had a lot of perch in them. So they, you know, they was a little more deeper than these fish up north because the water got warmer north more than it did the south end.
Yeah, and you can try to match the, you've been throwing the craw worms, huh?
I've been throwing the craw worm on the north end up there, throwing between the cypress trees and the lay down trees. And I was finding more 15 feet of water on the north end and that's closer to the bank because when these fish come up to feed and look around, they have a chance to go back down in the deeper water quicker there. Up on the north end, I found that more excited about doing it that way. Throwing the craw worm, just letting it drop down to that 10, 12 feet of water. And I find the big fish was picking it up like that. So it's pretty neat. I'm just excited. I almost thought I was back in the 30s when I was 30 years old catching those fish up there.
Now you hear Mr. Green explaining how to catch these fish, and you do a seminar over at Bayou Adventure. When is that going to be?
I do a seminar every Thursday at 5 o'clock at Bayou Adventure, and I talk to people about catching fish on Bayou Lacombe. People come in with their equipment, ask if they got the right equipment. There's some people come in with their kids, want to get them involved. So whoever come in and whatever question they got, I take all my experience and explain it to them and try to make them a better fisherman. And I do it every Thursday at Bayou Adventure, every Thursday. I've been having 10 to 15 people, you know, because it's springtime, so everybody wants to be excited about the soccer leg fishing. They want to be excited about catching some bass. And I'm pretty good on Bayou Lacombe, and I'm very willing to help everybody that come in ask me about fishing Bayou Lacombe. And I do it every Thursday.
Yeah, I've been to one of those seminars. The Trace that goes over by Bayou Lacombe, that's been producing any sockeye?
The Trace been good, but right at the Trace where the truss are at, they kind of move away from there. A lot of the sockeye now have started moving in the canals off the main bayou. That's where I caught them at yesterday, along the grass bays in the main canal. And I was jigging a jig about maybe 3 feet down or less. You know, you pick whichever you want to do. 2 feet, and I was using the caulk, throwing the jig along the grad base. So I found them in there, and most of them, all of them had eggs in them. So I know that's where they're moving at. And all the main stuff, like the trussel, they ain't been there. And some of the trees I put out a couple of years ago, they ain't been there. So now I know where they're at. They're moving in the canals off the main river.
Boy, those soccer legs keep you guessing, huh?
Oh, they always keep me guessing. But that's some of the stuff I talk in my seminars about. You know, go fishing. You can fish every day and enjoy fishing because they will keep you guessing. You think you got them, you don't have them. The next day, you got to figure out what you didn't do the day before. You do what you didn't do the day before, you catch them. The next day, you do that again, you don't catch them. So that's where I've been fishing since I was 10 years old. I'm 68 years old now, and I go every much the day I possibly can go because I enjoy trying to figure them out.
Oh, I know. You're maximizing your retirement, absolutely. Mr. Green, those pogies that we see in the main channel on the bayou, when's that going to start up?
Well, Bayou Lacombe pogies normally come through here during the fall of the year, right after the summer get in here when it starts to get warm up. I mean, hot.
Yeah.
That's when we get plenty of pogies in Bayou Lacombe. And that's when the lake start to get itself going, you know. So that's why you see me in the Bayou Lacombe as many days, because the lake has not gotten going pretty good. So I leave that alone until that happens. That's what I try to tell everybody in the seminar. Go fish freshwater. Go enjoy that. If you don't want to go all the way to Slidell and fish, then fish the water close around your house. Take your kid out. Enjoy some of that stuff. So the pogies will be here. They're not here now, but they'll be here when the summer get here. They'll be here.
Can't wait, Mr. Green. Anything else I'm leaving out?
No, pretty much we got everything. All we're leaving out is telling everybody to get their equipment ready, get their boat ready, and spring are here, and it's going to bust out through the scene because the water have not gotten to 49 degrees. It stayed 51, 52. And the more it warm up, I mean, the fish going to get better and better and better. So this probably going off the spring. But it's going to bust up. There might be no fish biting Monday. And all of a sudden, it's like all day Tuesday. So get your equipment together. Weekend, take your family out and go out and enjoy fishing.
Absolutely. All right, Mr. Green. Tell Jeff and Shannon hi over there at Bayou Adventure for me.
I sure will.
All right. Great talking with you. All right. All right, Mr. Green there. Mr. Green, to quote Mr. Green, it's going to bust loose on Bayou Lacombe soon, if not already. 2 6-pound bass. That's pretty good. All right, well, that's going to do it this morning. I want to thank all my guests for joining us. Captain Andy Jones of Wicked Charters, David Stewart, Island Marina, Ray Miller, Chris Basie, Todd Ullman, and Mr. Green. You just heard them. Certainly appreciate your knowledge and sharing some information. I hope you enjoyed the show this morning. I certainly did. 2 hours over with just like that. Time flies when you're having fun, huh? Plenty of options this weekend. Stay safe. Keith Lusher signing off for the North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.